Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Good morning. Good morning. My name is Andrea Simintov, and you are listening to Pull Up a Chair. Now, usually you hear me say, wowie kazowie, you are listening to me from beautiful Jerusalem. I can only tell you that it is pitch dark outside because I am in Silver Spring, Maryland. Stick-a-dish. But I still wish you a hearty Pesach. And that is how devoted I am to this show. It is 7 o'clock in the morning in my home, and I am up for you, pretending that the sun is shining and pretending I'm drinking coffee, which I am not. Today is going to be a little bit of a different show. It could get noisy at any moment because, dear listeners, you know that I want to share my real life with you, and my family is all about real life. You may hear my mother shouting for a glass of water. You might hear my niece coming in slamming, and you may indeed hear my brother. We're going to be listening to the sounds of microwaves, beating eggs, teeth flossing, and perhaps even an occasional toilet flush. But hey, this is Pull Up a Chair, and we want to keep it real on this Man on the Street show. Okay, so in this introduction, today we are going to talk about just some interesting things in terms of, it's very interesting. This is my diaspora show. I mean, here I am on the other side of my holy Jerusalem life, and suddenly I'm very, very aware that I am the minority, that Jews do not actually run this country, despite what the anti-Semites say. You know, in Israel, just everything is Jewish. The air is Jewish. The fighting is Jewish. The banks are Jewish. And suddenly here, you know, I'm very aware, and we try to keep a low profile. And again, I would say the one thing that is just bowling me over in America, the one thing that I only wish I could bring back with me is the green and the water running through people's backyards. And just the green and the lushness, and I miss the cherry blossoms, but it's amazing. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some Jewish observations from the other side of the world. See you on the other side.
Always challenging the status quo. Hello, I'm Rod Bryant on Beyond the Matrix here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I want to encourage you to listen each week, every Wednesday at the same time, for an amazing show that will challenge you, inform you, and inspire news, views, and wisdom for the nations. Here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, don't forget Beyond the Matrix every week, Wednesday, here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Back. Andrea Simintov, pick up a chair, pull up a chair in holy Silver Spring, Maryland, not Jerusalem, Ir HaKodesh, but Jerusalem West, Silver Spring. Okay, the reason I'm saying is this is a Chol HaMoed show, the intermediate days of Pesach, and I had the great merit to come and spend these holidays with my brother in Silver Spring and his wife and his children, my mother, who might come out and make some noises in a few minutes, 89-year-old mother, and this is a real-life show. I have to tell you, my niece just walked in, not given a gosh darn, and screamed, I'm back. So it could be very exciting, a lot of interesting things happening. Wait a second, I'm going to pull up the Skype window, make it nice and big. So before we go on, I must say hello. We have some special listeners today. We have listeners, of course, our friends here in the States and Canada. I expect you, Eretz Yisrael, Shalano, the UK, Australia. Hello, Nathan. Germany, Argentina, the Philippines, Mexico, Brazil, Norway, and you know who just joined us today? Austria. Okay. Very nice to hear you all. All right. So again, I am speaking from the other side of the world, and it's very late at night. And I feel that we were just together because last week, remember, if you all remember, I've been taking notes. I did the show on Wednesday morning, kind of threw some things in a bag, got on a plane, and I flew. I am not kidding you. It took 34 hours for me to get from Tel Aviv to Silver Spring. I took the scenic route. I went, I went via Frankfurt, which for me was a little bit strange. It was the first time I actually had ever stepped foot on German soil, and I am a product of that post-Holocaust generation. So I had a lot of feelings when I landed in Frankfurt. From Frankfurt, I flew very cleverly to Houston. From Houston, I flew to Fort Lauderdale, and from Fort Lauderdale to Silver Spring, Maryland, a mere 34 hours. I was pushing people off the benches in the airports and almost breaking down the doors to get some pistachio nuts. I also want to share with you, I'm like into this kind of minimalistic thing. I came with nothing. I came with some gifts. Everything had to be soft. I came with an overnight bag, and I'm going to go back. It's a test. I want to go back to Israel with a little shopping bag. What we say is a makolet bag to prove that it can be done. Because I read an article once that said that the more possessions you have, it denotes a greater lack of self-esteem. So I'm going to show how confident I am and go on the plane basically in a t-shirt and a toothbrush. Let me just think. Oh yeah, interesting. Okay, watching the clock here, because before we go on, we're still in the intermediate days of Pesach, Passover. And remember, I told my friends last week, never refer to it as the Passover, or we know that you are not a member of the tribe. And one of the things, the points that we brought up at the Passover table was if you don't have time to do the whole Seder, it's coming up on midnight, you have nothing, you know, you're scared, you need to get to the last cup, you need to say, I Dayenu, you have to say, Hashana Haba B'Yerushalayim, Amen. So quickly, you go over the integral points of the Passover Seder, which is Pesach, Matzah. Pesach would be the passing over. Matzah, we know, is the unleavened bread. And the moror, the bitter herbs. The Pesach means if we watch our mouths, if we use our mouths only for kindness, for spreading the good word, for practicing silence, then we will reap the merit of heaven. The matzah, it is not true that there was no time to bake the bread. They knew this Pesach was coming. They were on pins and needles, or in our colloquial term, they were on shpilkes waiting. But what the matzah is, is what it represents. Nobody's matzah was better. Bob's matzah wasn't better than Sue's, because all it was flour and water. If somebody had a better matzah, you really had to doubt whether or not they were observing the law. But it's the humility, the flatness, the uniformity, the fact that we are all one and the same. But to me, the most salient point is indeed the maror, the bitter herb. If you can afford everything, if you can enjoy everything, if every night is, I don't know what people like, duck pate and champagne, then how do we know that the celery we're tasting is very delicious? I don't know, I'm a vegetarian. So, I mean, the best ice cream, the best fruits, the best everything. The point is that little bit of bitterness makes the sweetness that much sweeter. And that is what Pesach is as we come into this season and we work our way, we mentioned it last week, as we work our way toward being meriting the receiving of the Torah, we now are facing our liberation. Remember, only 20% of us got out. We are all remnants of those that are just that much better. Okay, engineer, let me know the time because we're about to get into something very heavy duty. This is Andrea Simintov on Pull Up a Chair. Here we go, baby. The second day of Yontif, of the holiday here, those who live in the Galut, the diaspora, are obligated to celebrate 2 days. I, however, as an Israeli, only celebrate 1 day of Passover. Same thing for Sukkot. It's the first day. So, of course, I don't do anything that would in any way diminish the holiday in public, but I am allowed to look at my computer, to turn on a light if I need. And I checked the news on the second day of Yontif, and there, I shouldn't have done it. I should have instead stood shoulder to shoulder with my diaspora brethren, because I was assaulted with the images coming out of Sri Lanka. And suddenly, it dawned on me, and I know that I don't have a monopoly on this thought, just the glaring difference. The glaring difference, the different reactions to the terror attack in New Zealand versus the carnage that took place in Sri Lanka. Anybody agree with me on this one? You don't have to go too far, because after New Zealand, because it wasn't an Islamic radical, what did everybody condemn? The far right hatred. But after Sri Lanka, because our tongues are tied, our hands are tied, our hearts are tied, who did we blame? Militants. What did we do? We do what we do. We held them in our hearts. We had thoughts and prayers. You know what? Frankly, my friends, I'm sickened by thoughts and prayers. You know, thought police, political pressure, social media is responsible, but we allow it. We enable it. We enable this platform, the permission of every hate monger to talk about things that those who would relish push us into the sea. It sounds almost mild by now. We know who they are. We know who they are screaming from the pulpits and the mosques and the university auditoriums. We're not allowed to say Al-Qaeda is guilty. It's an ISIS attack, Boko Haram. Because our mass culture thinks that anything from the far right, anything that even is connected to the word right, is bad. And you know who we are? We're lemmings. Even we believe that it's just a select few. We believe that the militants who blast and harm people don't hate everybody. They just hate a few. Do you remember? What was it? Correct me if I'm wrong, that her name is Ilhan Omar. She gets a lot of airtime. She says 9/11 happened because some people did things. Random people in a deli were killed in France. No, it was Jews. We blather. We're anemic. And you know what? We're spilling blood day and night and night and day. You know, lies keep us subdued. They keep us quiet. And none of us want to point the finger because they'll call us Nazis. They'll call us even worse, right wingers. Who attacked people on Easter? Militants, not radical Muslims. Who kidnapped the Yazidis in Iraq and the children in Nigeria? Not radical Muslims, they were extremists. Violent extremists. You know, my friends, we're too scared to utter these unpopular truths because we don't want to be labeled. And one more thing, I found it very curious. Do you know you can't even say the word Christian? You can't call them Christian worshipers anymore. I don't even know what that's about. You can't call them Christian. Instead, you have to say that they were Easter parishioners or Easter worshipers. My friends, they were Christians. I'm watching the clock here. I don't know what I'll have time to tell you right now, but I had a very interesting conversation on the plane with a German couple from Cologne, German non-Jews, my age. They were apparently religious. They've been to Jerusalem, and they talked to me about the shame of having grown up in, you know, and paralyzed by World War II history, and that their society is being infected again. You know what? I want to talk to you about this on the other side. I'm curious about your thoughts. Andrea Simintov, pull up a chair.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country from Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
And we're back. This is Andrea Simintov on Pull Up a Chair, speaking to you from star-lit Silver Spring, Maryland. Okay, Listen, give me 2 points. 2 points for being awake. Today, what did I do? Let's get back to this. Let's finish this point. We'll finish the all the expected stuff, the talk about the the other thing I just wanted to say is that those of us, we're just going to keep walking along. All of you, keep walking along. And let's just not call it what we want to call it. You're not even allowed to say a spade is spade today. I read a little Philip Roth. And we're just going to keep walking along like zombies. And we're going to expect somehow it'll just be okay. We'll wring our hands. We'll send thoughts. We'll send prayers. And we're never going to point our fingers, hate the terrorism. Instead, we'll say, golly gee, look at those on the far right. Okay, so I was talking about this very interesting, I had like this lovely couple I was sitting next to. I told you, I was like a little freaked out being in Germany. I had never been in Germany. And I grew up in a very, very post-Holocaust, post-World War II house. And, my father, may he rest in peace, he wouldn't let us buy German scissors, a German car. I mean, forget it. That was, it was like flying to the moon on Bereshit. Anyway, and so here I am because the flight cost $6.49 and I went there and I meet this lovely couple. Interestingly, she was a hairdresser. So we immediately had what to talk about. And, they spoke with me. They knew right away that I'm Israeli and I came from Israel. And of course, they were eating like really wonderful, you know, Lufthansa type food. And I was eating, it was a crime against humanity, what passed as kosher food. Really, anybody who understands the term, Chilul Hashem, you know, wrapped like it was some kind of piece of gold I had to get to. It was to blech. And of course, I ate it because I wanted them to think that, you know, being kosher trumps everything. It really didn't. Anyway, they talked to me about the shame of growing up in the shadow of World War II, of Nazi Germany, and that there were things that were never discussed. You didn't talk with your parents. That it was very, very interesting. They weren't apologetic. They were just silent. And they said they grew up, they were damaged from growing up in this very silent generation. And that suddenly this guy said that because of the Nazi past, that the German parliament is completely paralyzed with the subject of immigration. And nobody is scared to say that their society is being infected with this incredible disease and terror, and the crime is out of control. But nobody can say anything because what is the first thing that they're called? Nazis. And he says that there are now suddenly voices in protest rising, but they're coming from both sides of the aisle if you have a aisle, do you have an aisle in the German parliament? What is it, the Bund? That, you know, there really are supremacists on the far right, but then like just off the center is a right-wing group that are beginning to say, you know, world opinion be damned. You're going to call us Nazis anyway. We're not going to bury ourselves alive. And with that, I ate a piece of vegetarian kosher kugel. Okay, we talked about the responses in the world from the Christian world. New Zealand, what I got a very nice, I mean, just they put this very, very nicely. You know, why is it? I don't know how many of you listening to this lived in New York or knew about what was going on in New York way back. Oh my gosh, was it even the 80s? The Crown Heights riots, the riots in Crown Heights when the Rebbe's motorcade hit and I think killed a young black kid. And there was rioting on the streets and Jews were stabbed. They were stabbed, they were beaten. And one young, a yeshiva bucher, a Rosenblatt, I can't remember his name suddenly, he was murdered and stabbed to death. And David Dinkins, the then mayor of New York, he was African-American first, and I think so far last, African-American mayor, he said something that was so staggeringly offensive, so shockingly racist, that had he been white, he may have been pilloried, but because he was black, he actually got on national TV and he said, let them run riot, let them get it out of their systems. I mean, talk about offensive and the thinking, moral, black members of society who were standing shoulder to shoulder with people of reason said, how dare he? Anyway, I think about that when I think about the Muslim world. Why are Muslims not being held to the same standards as anyone else? Why are the standards for me, my children, you, your children, codes of conduct, not why do they not apply to them? And at first I thought, shame on them, shame on them. But you know what? It gets better. Shame on us. We're the ones. Okay? Parody. Deep breath. Just came across an article today. Too sad. No, I don't want to talk about that. What happened? Okay. So you know that I do this exercise program, and it's very hard when you travel to ride to keep up with your exercise. And yesterday, my brother, who is astonishingly fit, and his wife, who I would say is violently athletic, asked me to go for a bicycle ride with them. Well, we all know that the natural answer to that question is, what? No. But for some reason, I felt that I had something to prove. And without blinking, I said, yeah, sure. So we took our bicycles and they took me to a place. What is this called? Centennial Park. Just everything here is beautiful. It's so beautiful. It's so sterile. It's so clean. It's so green. Everybody's so chipper. You know, every woman here is named Megan and she like kind of has a blonde ponytail and bobs. And just, it was lovely. Everybody was jogging. There were black people, white people. Everybody was just friendly and warm. And then I came in my insane outfit, pants that were too hot, a shirt that was too long. And I got on the bicycle. When my brother and sister-in-law weren't looking, I rode around the front of some minivan. I fell. And later on, I found that I actually had two hematomas on my leg. My legs blew up, but I kept smiling and I have fake knees and I kept riding. And so that was yesterday. And this morning I couldn't walk. It was terrible trying to prove that I'm young and fit. So today I didn't have to walk. They took me on a boat ride around Chesapeake Bay. Can you imagine, my friends in Israel? Here I am. I'm on the front of a boat. I'm pretending that I'm, what is her name, Reese Witherspoon? I was pretending I was like on Titanic with my, you know, curly hair standing there. And I was going around Chesapeake Bay. And all around me, there was a Boy Scout convention on one side. I'm not joking. And a bunch of kids from a Catholic school on the other side. And it was just so beautiful. And you know what was the most rewarding part of the whole experience? I didn't hear any Hebrew at all. So I am having a wonderful, and next week's show, in case I don't get to tell you, next week I'm going to be speaking with you from the Golden Medina west of West Palm Beach or Boca Raton. Although, you know, I do this show, I do this little skit. Nathan, you know this listening in. I do a little gig every Thursday on Chai FM. Got that? Chai FM? In South Africa. And today I told them, you know, my little gig is called From My Jerusalem Window. And they put me on the air and they made me like a theme song. And I come on. And as soon as I said, well, I'm actually not in Jerusalem, I'm in Maryland. You know what they did? They said, have a good holiday. And they hung up on me. So I think next week, just between you and me, listeners, we're not going to tell them. I'm going to lie and tell them that I'm speaking to them from Jerusalem. All right. Anything else I want to share with? Oh, yeah. This is a little bit scary. This is a little sad. I don't know how many of you listened to this. Really, Shades of India. Remember a few years ago, the Chabad house in Mumbai was attacked. And unfortunately, the results of that attack were disastrous, as bad as they get. Well, today, not so bad. But in Kenya, the Chabad house in Kenya, there was a home invasion, and Rabbi Shmuel Notik and his wife Chaya were brutally beaten. Chaya, much worse. She just recently she came out of surgery, and she's going to be okay, Baruch Hashem. But, you know, it wasn't just robbery. I always say that South Africa, the crime generally is, how do you say it, financial in nature, but not so much. These guys came in and they robbed them. But they were slinging the anti-Semitic slurs, and they were screaming, give us the money, give us the money, because we all know that Jews are hiding all the money, and we run the world. And apparently they took ritual fringes and phylacteries, how do you say, tefillin, jewelry, Hanukkah menorah, Kiddush cups. I mean, it was just disgusting. Chabad does holy work. We know it. But I still kind of am forced to ask, why are we there? Why is anybody living here in Maryland? Silver Spring, come home. All right, Andrea Simintov, I'm going to see you on the other side.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Ben-Tekoa. Each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany is but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
Andrea Simintov, and pull up a chair. It is getting noisy in here. This is like an Erev Yontif house. Erev holiday, Erev Chag. That place is smelling great. And if I see any more matzah, oh my gosh, tonight for dinner I made savory matzah grapes. doesn't say matzah craps, but this is a family show. All right, so this week's Parsha, very interesting. I'm here with my mother and my brother, and I was reminded again and again that this is the Yom Tov, this is the holiday that we say Yiskor. What is that noise? Oh, it's my niece came home. She's the noisy one. All right. And we say Yiskor. Yiskor is the memorial prayer for the dead. And I wanted to think, I got to thinking about it. And I never put it two together. Acharei Mot is the name of the Parsha, the Torah reading. And it means after death. And after the death of a person, then comes Kodesh. And a person is remembered not only as being noble and holy, but the attitude stems directly from a Jewish tradition that we don't speak ill of those that have passed on and those who can't speak for themselves. One of the things actually at the beginning, if you'll remember, I said Pesach, how Pesach is really about how we use our mouths in this time to come. Now, we're all aware that not everybody is deserving of glowing eulogies, only the best words. Oh my gosh, everybody after they die becomes a tzaddik. We know that's not true. We know it's not accurate. But still, the Jewish style holds that we speak kindly. I took some interesting notes. Okay, so the Shulchan Aruch, which is the code of Jewish law, actually says that some exaggeration in funeral speeches, funeral orations over a deceased person are actually permitted. So what do they mean by some exaggeration? It means it dafka deliberately, it's left a little bit vague and it's not quite defined, and we are assuming that the eulogizer has good judgment. I heard a wonderful story. Rabbi Beryl Wine, he should live and be well. His father was a pulpit rabbi in Chicago during the great, the mobster era. And there was the family of a Jewish gangster who died. They were affiliated with the shul, the synagogue, where the elder Rabbi Wine was rabbi. And they insisted that he eulogize their murdering mobster relative at the funeral. So now you have, a very difficult situation. So they wanted to make sure that, respect. They like these mobsters, love a big turnout. So this is a great story. So in order to make sure that there was a really big turnout, they hired a very famous cantor, a chazan, to sing the memorial prayers. And they posted notices in the neighborhood about the cantor's concert, the funeral concert. And so obviously a large crowd turned out. They probably also turned out because the cast of nefarious characters was more, irresistible. So old Rabbi Wine, he was having a problem. He didn't know what to say positive about this guy, and he didn't want to, he was really a religious man. So finally he declared in his very brief eulogy, "This man must have done many good deeds and favors privately that we are unaware of, because look at the large crowd that has come here to the funeral to pay him their last respects." Here in Israel, there are signs pasted all over the walls. When somebody dies, we have, I think we call them pitalim. Engineer, if you know what they are, write it up for me. There are signs all over posted that somebody died, because the idea of somebody not showing up to the funeral, of it being an empty funeral or an empty shiva. And when you sit shiva in Israel, you don't expect to know the people who all show up. Strangers come in, because it is what we call a mitzvah shel emet, and the real mitzvah, because the deceased will never be able to pay it back. So I wanted to say that this all relates to the Parsha, and I'm remembering that at my beloved father's funeral, my father, for whom I will be saying the Yizkor this week. I didn't know. And as his casket was in the front and the rabbi was speaking, and suddenly a contingent of very elderly men wearing their army hats and their sashes, and they were members of the Jewish war veterans, they solemnly walked up to his casket and they saluted. And I have to tell you, it was very, very powerful, which makes me think what I wanted to share with you was there's a very famous story, and I finally got the source, and it brings us right to both the Parsha and the saying of Yizkor. I remember hearing this story about, it was a plane ride, and always is a rabbi in the story, an elderly rabbi, you know. So, but this story I found came from an article. I don't even know the source of the article, but the Agudas Yisrael is indeed the right wing, the most orthodox, what we call the most Haredi organization in America. And it describes how Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky was traveling, of blessed memory, of course, was traveling back to New York from a world gathering of the Agudas Yisrael in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh. And the seating arrangement was that the teller of this story, Rabbi Shira, he was sitting a row behind Rabbi Kamenetsky, and it just so happened that next to Rabbi Kamenetsky was sitting Yerucham Meshel. He was the general secretary of the Histadrut, the Israeli Labor Federation, left wing, really socialist leanings, very important man who helped build modern Israel. And so Mr. Meshel and Rabbi Kamenetsky, these two, the bareheaded Jew and the bearded Haredi Jew, were having conversation during the trip. And Rabbi Shira was overhearing this. And so Mr. Meshel kept asking Rabbi Kamenetsky a lot of questions about Judaism. And Rabbi Kamenetsky answered them. And as the plane landed in New York, Rabbi Kamenetsky smiled and he asked Mr. Meshel, "Is there anything I've said to you in the course of our whole conversation which might cause you to change your way of life and become an observant Jew?" "No," Mr. Meshel answered, "there's nothing in what you said that might cause me to change my lifestyle. However, there's something you did not say which might make me change my mind. Explain how it is that your son behaves as he does." What he was referring to was that for most of the trip, Rabbi Kamenetsky's son, Rabbi Shmuel Kamenetsky, instead of sitting down in his own seat, reading, doing his thing, he was standing in the aisle next to his father, making certain that his father was comfortable, fixing his pillows, bringing him something to drink, and on and on. Mr. Meshel said, "I would never think of asking my children to do anything for me. What is there in Judaism that gets your son to behave this way?" "Ah," said Rabbi Kamenetsky, "it's very simple. In your outlook, Mr. Meshel, the emphasis is on human progress, human improvement. We indeed evolve from apes. That means that you look at your grandparents as primitive, living in the dark ages. Your parents also, to a lesser extent, of course. But it also means that your children, in turn, look at you as backward. Why should they show you honor? In our outlook, it's the exact opposite. Each generation that is born is one step further away from the revelation at Sinai. Judaism holds that this light of revelation gets progressively dimmer. This means that each person honors his parents as being one generation closer to Sinai. Remember, the secular Jew thinks of himself as the latest improved version. We see of ourselves, those who are observant, as woefully lacking. This is a very important point for all of us to ponder as we get ready to say Yizkor. The value of honoring our parents, valuing and honoring their memories,
is not a matter of nostalgia for the past, quaint traditions, customs. It's not a matter of thinking, hey, they paid for my education. They fooded me. They fed me. They clothed me. It's only nice that I pay for their needs. Yiska reminds us that we must always realize and put front and center that our parents are one generation closer to Sinai. Indeed, closer to the truth. Next week, please God, we will be speaking from the Golden Medina of Boca Raton. I wish all of you a Pesach Kasher V'Sameach and Shabbat Shalom U'Mivorach from both Silver Spring and, of course, Jerusalem.
Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. Just click the orange button at the top of the IsraelNewsTalkRadio.home page, log in as yourself or an anonymous guest, and join in on the fun. You'll meet other listeners from all over the world who listen to Israel News Talk Radio, and you can make new friends. Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. It's the closest you can get to being in the studio with us.
We love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.